Over the past few months, we've been talking with people about how much they want to know about their genetic makeup. In the latest installment of the series, we meet Nancy Wexler. Ms. Wexler is a scientist who studies a debilitating neurological disorder called Huntington's disease. 20 years ago, she helped identify the gene that causes Huntington's, an achievement that led to a genetic test for the disease. NPR's Joe Palca spoke with Ms. Wexler at her office on the Columbia University Medical School campus in New York City.
Huntington's disease has always hung over Nancy Wexler. Her mother's father had it. Her mother's three brothers had it. The disease typically comes on in middle age. As it progresses, patients suffer mood swings and difficulty thinking. Physically, they have trouble with movements and such basic functions as swallowing. For a time, Nancy Wexler believed the disease only affected men. But in the late 1960s, she learned that was wrong.
My mother was on jury duty when I was 21, and she was walking across, there's a big diagonal in downtown L.A., and so a policeman was watching her, you know, walk across at 8 a.m., and he pulled her over and accosted her and said, "Aren't you ashamed of yourself to be drunk so early in the morning?" And my mother was just horrified, you know, because first of all, she wasn't drinking. She doesn't drink. And, you know, her world just fell apart because she knew that that's one of the first signs of Huntington's.
And that sort of propelled you into the career path that you eventually went on, which was to study this disease.
Right. You want me to close the door?
Yeah, that's probably a good idea.
What about taking the...
Nancy Wexler's cluttered office at Columbia University Medical School overlooks the Hudson River. It's piled with papers, folders, research journals, and dozens of pictures documenting her field research in Venezuela. Wexler began working in Venezuela because Huntington's disease is unusually common in the villages along Lake Maracaibo.
Find a picture. We've got to see this picture.
Sort of nice. I like you've got this huge expanse of the Hudson River and the George Washington Bridge, but then the pictures sort of bring you right back down to Venezuela, it looks like. Mm-hmm. You were going to grab one. Which one were you going to show me?
Can you reach that one? Let me just see if I can find it.
Nancy Wexler is an intense person, long, streaming gray hair and sparkly eyes, 58 years old. When we met at her office, she embraced me as an old friend, although we've only met professionally a few times. She finally finds the picture she's looking for. It shows a clean, freshly painted room. In the room, a nurse is feeding a woman in a wheelchair. The room was once part of a local bar. Now it's a clinic for Huntington's patients.
Everybody that works there, it comes from a Huntington's family. So if they can do whatever they do, that's why it's so clean. The people who clean, the people who are the cooks, everybody has Huntington's in their family. So they all have the first priority. Since the staff are all expecting to get Huntington's and they're caring for their parents in that same place, you know, they say it's very hard to walk in because every time I walk in, I think one of these days it's going to be me. And so they handle that by saying, "I want that bed. I want that room." No, you can't have that. I want to share with you.
Wexler says to find a gene, you need to find a family where the disease is rampant.
This picture, this family really helped us find the gene because there were 9 children, 7 out of the 9 children all got Huntington's disease. So really, this family found the Huntington's disease gene for us. And bingo, you know, it was like one day you don't have a gene, and the next half an hour you got the gene. So I love them.
The discovery of the gene was a scientific breakthrough, but it was also a personal turning point for Nancy Wexler. Soon there was a genetic test that she and her sister could take that could end the uncertainty about whether a debilitating disease lay in their future. Together with their father, they began to work out the logistics of taking the test.
How we would send the blood, who we would give the results to. And as we started to talk about it, my father said, "I don't know how I feel about this test. I'm really having a lot of misgivings." He said, "It's up to you, it's your life, it's your DNA. But for me, it would be tragic if either one or both of you is diagnosed with Huntington's disease, and we need to really think very carefully about what we're doing here." And his words really hit us like a thunderbolt because certainly my sister and I have thought about Huntington's every day of our life, probably every moment since 21, so it's not like we hadn't been thinking about it. But there's a huge, huge, mega difference between thinking about something, even when you think that you have thought it out inside out, backwards. There's nothing that anybody could tell you. You know everything. When you actually put yourself in the position of saying, I am going to open that Pandora's box and find out if my life is over as I know it, as I want it to be. My sister is a writer. She said, how can I sit in a typewriter and have a writer's block and think this is Huntington's, this is the beginning and the end? I can't do that. I can't manage that. And I started to think to myself, how would I go to Venezuela? How would I see all those people? How would I know that that is going to be me? Not maybe me, but is me. How would I write? How would I be cheerful? And it's a very hard position, place to both put yourself in and keep yourself. And so then we said, well, why do we want this? What's on the plus side? What's driving us other than, certainly you're very curious. Of course, you're very curious. You want to know that you don't have it. All of my life since the age of 21 was completely pushing aside every single barrier I could find in order to develop the test. I mean, the research in Venezuela was all about finding the test. It was finding a marker so you could take the test, finding a gene so you could take it, absolutely treatment, of course. So, test, I want to know, I want to find out, I want to be tested. Boom, sliding into this huge, giant, concrete, gigantic wall. What on earth are you thinking about, What are you doing here,
In the end, Wexler and her sister decided not to take the test. The reason, she says, is there's no effective treatment for Huntington's disease. Nothing she could do if the test showed she'd get the disease. But Wexler says there was one thing that would have changed her mind. Children.
Because my sister and I had both decided, the first thing, in fact, we said when we learned that we were at risk is we weren't going to have children unless we could guarantee that they wouldn't get sick. And both of us were, wanted to have children. We had said no to children because of the Huntington's, but suddenly this other door was opening. Okay. And that seemed really the only driving force behind saying yes to being tested.
That never happened, so the next step never happened, so you never got tested.
So I never got tested.
And that's the status today?
Right.
I've gone back through the archives and looked, and every time this topic has come up, you've said, don't really want to talk about this private, and you've already emphasized that it's a very personal decision. What made you change your mind?
I think that there's an increasing push for people to be tested. And people are going to get pushed to get, tested for all kinds of reasons. I guess part of what I would like to say is that people should not feel pressured to be tested, that you can't take back the information, that it can be massively damaging information. It can be illuminating, and it can be productive. People use it that way. I've seen people use it that way. I'm saying try to know your own inner self as much as you possibly can, because that should be the guiding force, and not some outside job or outside boyfriend or father-in-law or doctor, really push a lot, or public, impinging on you, because you're the one that has to live with that information. And nobody else does.
Nancy Wexler, thank you so much.
Thank you, Joe. It was a pleasure.
Nancy Wexler spoke with NPR's Joe Palca at her offices on the Columbia Medical School campus. Our series of genetic conversations is produced by Tracy Wall. To learn more about Nancy Wexler and Huntington's disease, go to our website, npr.org.